Okay, well, let's get started on our lesson today. We're not following our book, so I'm going to throw you another curve again. I think it's a little bit too, I'm not really schooled enough in that, so I'm not comfortable with that. So Pastor said, okay, you can do whatever I feel led to do. So, okay, let's pray first. Lord, we just thank you, God, for your word that gives life and truth to us, Lord. Help us to just understand the message, Lord, that you bring to us today, Lord, and open our hearts and minds to you through your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. A while back, I had read a book that was really interesting, and I thought, I'm going to bring some of those things to light, because it tied in sort of with what we talked about last week, about unity in the church and so forth. So the first scripture comes from Galatians, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. And we'll go to Acts, which is the main text. We can hop to Acts 15, verse 1. Certain people came down from Judea and Antioch and were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. And then also in verse 5 through 11, it says, then some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. The apostles and elders met to consider that question. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as he did to us. He did not discriminate between us and them, for he purified their hearts by faith. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved, just as they are. The whole theme of this message today that I feel, or the teaching, is that we don't want to have, they were trying to put salvation as earning it through Jesus plus circumcision. And the equation that religion sometimes can put on is Jesus, not just the true gospel, like Paul was saying. What happened to the real gospel? It got twisted into the rules of the traditions of the Jewish customs. So I have some things here that I thought were interesting too, how religion can be an equation that says Jesus plus being immersed in water equals salvation. And we know that immersion in water, or however you want to be baptized or whatever, that's a sign of the salvation first, not does it make it equal to salvation. Because if you think about it, when the Ethiopian eunuch, he was searching for the message, and he accepted and then was baptized. So salvation is not earned by doing that. And sometimes religion, because this whole thing is religion versus the gospel. Jesus plus doing, say, communion a certain way. That equals salvation. No, that's not a way either. Because we know that, well, I'll get to that. Or Jesus plus church membership equals salvation. We know that's not true, because you can sit in a church all your life and be a member but not be saved. Just because you belong to a church or you served in a church does not mean that you've committed your life to Jesus and accepted him as your Lord and Savior, because we all need to confess him as Lord and Savior. And many times people get caught up with, you have to belong to the church to do this and then you can be saved. Or you have to be go through whatever rituals.
A lot of this stuff, like back in
Yeah, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear. Right, yes, yes. Well, see, the whole thing is accepting Christ is the true gospel. None of the, see, we have these little, like the Pharisees and the rulers of the synagogue there were arguing, no, we had to go through circumcision, so now these Gentiles are coming in, they need to be circumcised too. And that's not what the gospel is about. And Paul was teaching to the Gentiles. He was a Jew himself, and he knew all the rules and traditions and that. But he was saying, hey, no, God opened this up to the Gentiles, the other people, all who put their faith in him. Excuse me. But don't we all have a little Pharisee in all of us sometimes? We put a little attachment. Well, if you want to be saved or be a Christian, you got to do this, or you got to be good, or you got to belong, or you got to do that. That's not what the gospel says. Also, sometimes we say Jesus plus certain dress dress code. You have to wear a certain dress code. You have to be a certain way and act a certain way, and then you can be saved. That's not true either. And I like this one. Jesus plus either you're a Republican or a Democrat, then you can be saved. We won't even get into politics. But some people have different thoughts of these things. If we look at, let's see here. Like he says in verse 10 of 15 in Acts, now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? These are all these rules and laws and traditions that you had to keep, or you weren't good enough to enter it close to God. But Jesus came to tear away that veil of the temple. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. No. And you know, I hear that sometimes. I've already talked to people that I've had conversations with, and I ask them about if they've ever been born again or saved. Oh, I belong to church so and so. I didn't ask that. I want to know, did you accept Christ? Going to a building or a church does not make you saved. It's the heart condition that you accept him as what he did for us. We'll get into that more. And if you look at, I won't go there, but I'll just give you the text. Ephesians 2:8 says, through grace you have been saved, not by works. So there's nothing that you can do to earn your salvation. And none of us can be good enough. None of us. But I like how it says, I wrote down, we have these conditions, that God will love you more if you give more to the church and to the ministry, God will love you more and accept you. If you go to church more, if you go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, study, small groups, and God will accept you and love you more. Those are other things that are not true. Oh, if you serve more. Well, if you belong to, if you teach at your church, do children's ministry or, you know, whatever, deacon, God will love you more. And this one, if you pray more. Don't we do that sometimes to ourselves, though? We feel like God doesn't really love us that much unless we're doing all the right things. If we're reading our Bible more, if we're praying more, if we're doing more. So, you know, those things here can get us caught up in a false gospel. And some religions that I'm familiar with personally is the learning more. If you have enough knowledge of the Bible and text, then that earns your salvation. And that's not true. The Holy Spirit is given to us to really teach us and guide us after we've received Christ. Then we have their true wisdom and knowledge that comes from him. And it's not by work, doing service, to earn your way to heaven and to the kingdom. there's even things like, well, if you sing more or you do the praise team more or whatever, then God will love you more. And so it's the more. God will love you more if I pray more and do these things more. Martha, I know the story. We talk about Martha and Mary, but that's in Luke chapter 10. We talk about Mary and Martha, 10:38 through 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." It wasn't that Martha was doing the wrong thing. She needed to get things done, and it needed done. If there's people to cook for, right? We women have to get the stuff out and get it ready. And so it wasn't that. It was she was being distracted by the doing. She was busy doing for the Lord, and that was the most thing that she had on her mind. Mary, like, her identity was maybe doing in the being with Jesus. And Martha was the doing, doing for Jesus. So it's okay to do for Jesus and serve, but the most important is that your heart wants to be with Jesus. So it wasn't that he was saying she shouldn't be doing any of that. Excuse me, just like we said, more. You've got to do more. I'm not doing enough. We've got to be careful that rituals and traditions don't become more important than our relationship with God and others. Because we talked about unity in the family, unity in the church family. Now we're talking about the early church and how new people are being brought in. And we don't want to add rules and regulations to the simple faith of the gospel, what the gospel means. And what is the gospel? Time for an answer session. If I said, what is the gospel? What is the good news?
The good news is salvation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because I think about the scripture, it says, be ready in season and out of season to give an account for your faith. And what, why? Like, why do you believe in Jesus? Why are you following Jesus? When the world looks at everything as a reason, you got to have a reason. And we do too, but it's like I thought to myself, if someone just caught me off guard and said, why do you think you're a Christian? And I would have to say, because I put my faith in him, that he died for my sin, he rose again, and I am saved only because of him. I didn't do anything good. That's true. Nope, because but our job is to be ready to answer it either way, and God will do with it. If the Spirit has softened their heart, he will put that seed in there. Or debate, or do a debate session to come against you.
Well, salvation isn't like vinegar, right? You know, you add water and you got saved.
Yeah.
So you're probably planting seeds regardless of what their attitude is. Like, you don't know. They might come talk to the person and they go home late at night, they're in bed, and then they really start thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Right. The seed, and he waters and makes it. Someone will make it. That's right. Yeah. So, So there you go. We have to make the whole thing that I was thinking of this message or this teaching today is that we have to focus on a simple gospel, not all the rules that we can put upon people to make it harder to enter into the kingdom of God. I mean, I used to think that, well, I'm not good enough, so I'm not ready to get saved. Right, right. Or, yeah, because there's so many reasons that some people keep from entering into the, and it's a simple thing, but sometimes, like the Pharisees, you don't want to put, well, okay, we say, come as you are, God will meet you where you are, we're all sinners, and we come and accept Christ, and then all of a sudden we have these rules that we have to follow. So we've just overrode the whole grace thing. Right.
But then they'll say, well, I can't understand a thing in it. Just so that you can't understand it or not. Mm-hmm. Christ, the Holy Spirit telling you what that.
He opens our eyes to the word and what it means. I did that too. Right. Yeah, Philip, the eunuch, yeah, he explained it to him. That's the clip you were saying.
It's from about the Ten Commandments. And the Pharisees made it into thousands of rules.
Yes. They added to it. And this is.
They knew they couldn't keep.
Right. And then it's funny because the very people that God wanted to save and bring in with by grace without having to do that, they still wanted to keep rules, even if they entered in, to put it on the other newcomer Gentiles. Well, we're going to put it on them, though, even though they couldn't keep it either. Yes. That's the whole point of this, is like sometimes we can be a Pharisee and not realize that we're doing it. The focus should be the life that Jesus came to offer. The change comes within the heart by the Holy Spirit. That's when all the work gets changing us. We don't change overnight. We are not saved, and then magically we're not going to ever sin again, because we're all still going to have that nature in us. It's just that we have the ability now to have that covered by the blood of Christ on the cross. And salvation is not about a behavior modification, trying to be good on the outside. It's like, really, when you accept Christ, it should be a sincere thing that I really need you, Lord, and I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. Save me. I can't do it any other way. Once we realize that there is no way to earn it, there, like I said in Ephesians, it's only by grace, not by works, that you're saved. Then we can realize that, okay, Lord, I'm going to let it up to you, because I need a lot of changing. I can honestly say, and all of us should be able to say, that from the time that I made that commitment to the Lord, that there has been some change in my life. And if there isn't, seriously, I have to wonder if your heart attitude was sincere. I mean, really, are you changing at all? I mean, save changing your attitude, not just your behavior, changing the inward heart of who you are, and your attitude toward others and compassion changes. Everything changes to be more like Jesus. Right. Right. And it's like we have to remember, if we want to bring people into the family of God, we have to let them understand that that's how it is, not putting rules on them. Man-made religion will lead to idolatry in the religion itself. It's not about a religion. Jesus did not come to give us a religion. He came to give us life and a relationship with him. God-given gospel is what leads to true transformation. So the gospel is what changes us because of the Holy Spirit. He convicts us and teaches us and guides us if we let him. Martin Luther wrote a quote here, as sinners we are prone to pursue a relationship with God in one of two ways, either through religion or the gospel. So Sometimes we're going to seek out, you can hear people say it, I probably said it in my early years too, well, I need to go to that church because that church has the real, you know, they teach and they have a good worship team, or, you know, I'm looking for that. That makes that an idol then. You're not looking to know Christ and follow Him. You're looking at a church or a pastor or a worship team or a ministry itself. Any comments so far on that? Do I go through this list? Cliff?
A lot of the old churches, and the one I grew up in, a lot of them, there's always, you can't do this.
Yep. Yep, the dress code. Right. That was religion, not Christ. And Christ didn't say things like that. That's when we start making our own opinions and our preferences a rule, that's putting religious yokes on people. Because I think that that just starts to limit people wanting to come into the body of Christ. Why should I bother that? They have more rules than, you know, I have freedom to do what I want now, you know. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's another study, because you can't always judge by outward actions what was in the heart of a person, too. Because, yeah, we're still not perfect as Christians, but you will see the outward change, the outwardness of being serving out of love, not because you have to. Because religion says if we obey God, He will love us. But the gospel says because God loved us through Jesus, we can obey. There's a big difference. There's that, well, if I'm good enough, God will love me and then I'm saved. That's not true. We're not any of us good enough. But that's the good thing, is that we know that Christ still loves us, and God, He loves us when we were sinners. He loved us to die for us. Yes, we have the choice. The next one is we should trust in what we... Religion says we should trust in what we do because we're good moral people. The gospel says trust in the only one who is sinless, and that's Jesus, and He will help change us. Another one is religion focuses on what we get from God. The gospel said, not gifts, but God Himself in the form of Jesus as the gift to us by grace. He is the biggest gift to us. People think that if I become a Christian, I remember, there's so many people that I've talked to about this, but they've made comments, and I always remember certain ones because I think, that's not what it's about. It's like, well, I'm going to go to church because I need to have a change in my life. Church is not going to change you. Your heart needs to be wanting the change, and the Holy Spirit's going to convict you to change, and He will help that transformation. But going to the church is not going to make everything right. Just because I'm going to bodily in form go to church and sit in my or church, that's not going to make my life good now. It's not going to just change me. I have to do the participating part in it. Religion says the things what I have to do. You got to do this. Isn't it funny how as soon as people get saved and brought in the church, okay, we're going to stick you in the nursery. We're going to stick you in teaching. We're going to stick you in this and that. They're already wanting to put you into something, but that's not a good thing because we need to grow and mature as Christians before we're ready to do those things when God calls us to do those things. And when He matures us enough in the areas and giftings that we have, that we can operate in those gifts. We don't want to just put people to work. We want them to be part of the body and be important in the part of the body for their gifts and talents, but we don't want to just throw them into service of doing something. Then all of a sudden, that becomes their identity. Okay, I'm a good Christian now because I'm doing did children's church, and I'm doing the, I'm, you know, the usher, or I'm the teacher, or whatever, that's not going to, it's the wrong attitude. Those things will come from the heart of being saved and changed, because you'll want to serve when the time is right. You'll know what areas God's giving you to operate in. But it doesn't have to be a position in the church that you operate in. It's just becoming more like Jesus in your life. You know, that's the biggest, like you said, the outward, your example. You know, things will follow from that. Right, part of the caring, the one another, which is odd because that just came up in a book I was reading, the 59 One Others, and then I just got a message from someone sharing me some things that points, and it was in there. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's what we have for one another, our love for one another and caring for one another. That's the operation of the body of Christ. And love you as yourself. Exactly.
And everything else
fits. Right. Right.
And the Ten Commandments is just there to tell us that we could not.
Yes. The commandments were there to show us our error of our way, that we needed, that we knew that we couldn't fulfill all the rules and the commandments by ourselves. Another one is that religion will, you've got to question your standing with God. I don't know if I've done enough. The gospel said the finished work of Christ on the cross made that work happen for us. We're sealed with the Spirit. We are saved by the blood of Jesus. No other way. There is no other way to get around that, because we shouldn't be questioning our faith or if we're saved, if we're a Christian, because if you believe that Jesus is who he says he is and that he took our sin, bore us in our place and died and rose again and gave us the authority and the Holy Spirit and everything else, we shouldn't be worrying about our salvation. We should still want to do the right thing, because we don't want to live like little unbelievers that we were before we knew Christ. It's just that we don't have to constantly be worrying, am I still saved? Am I still saved? I don't know. I sinned yesterday. I said something. I don't know if I died now if I'm going to be saved. We shouldn't be worrying about that, because Christ paid all of our sins on the cross, all of it. I'm probably way ahead, so we can have good discussion here anyway. Yes. Oh, yes. I was going to bring that up. Yep.
He's nuts, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, if you're not receptive to that kind of message, that's how you're going to react to that.
Yes, exactly. But we as Christians know that we can talk. We're not going to all hear an audible, okay, Terry, you're going to do this today. No, it's that inner voice in our... When we're communing with the Lord, we will have those unctions. We will have that voice in our thought saying, you know, this is something we may need to look at or help with or whatever. It could be anything. Or just to do something that you should be doing that day. Calling a friend, pray for someone.
It's that small voice. That's why I thought we could overlook it.
That's right.
But when I heard that too, I thought, one day her day will come and she'll stand before God and she'll have it.
It's a shame though, but you know what? Some Christians don't believe they can hear from God. Exactly.
And
the religious, yes. The thing is, too, that we can't, like I said about last week with the unity in the church and division, we don't want to, okay, I'm going to say that my church does it the right way and yours doesn't. That's religion again. That's rules and traditions made by man. the whole underlying connection between all of us as believers is that we believe that Jesus died for my sin, and he is my Savior, and he's the only way to the Father, the only way. But we get caught up in, okay, where are we going to have our church? It's in a gym. That's not allowed. We can't have drums and guitars in a church. That's terrible. That's of the devil. This is what some, like you said earlier, can't wear this, can't wear jewelry, you can't raise your hands, you can't have a projector screen. There's no way it's going to be just hymns or contemporary or the other. You know, we can't go by that, making that our rules or our opinions the rules of the church.
Did you hear where Billy Graham's pastor was made?
No, I didn't hear that.
It's, I believe it's in Indiana, the maximum security prison with Dr. Pratt. These guys are in jail for life.
Uh-huh.
And they made his coffin. There's a I don't know, some kind of religious thing going on there, isn't that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, see, Billy Graham, I think, we look at him as, wow. But his life was a good example that he spoke the truth and he didn't get swayed by, he just preached the gospel and he wanted everyone to be saved. That was should be our mission. Yeah. He's in hell.
He's in hell right now.
But see, this is the kind of thing that likes to stir. This is like what I think the enemy loves to do. Satan loves division. And Satan will love to even put division in the church believers for silly things that are not important. If our focus has to be on Jesus and what he came to do for us as far as giving us life. Barb. Yes, he is in heaven. Exactly. And you know what? Why would we believe that? Because he his whole message was what he believed. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what? They are ignorant of the truth. And someday when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, all will do that. I know. Well, see, you don't want to be pointed out with sin, because if you're a sinner, you don't want to hear it. Unless the Holy Spirit has softened our heart to be repentant of the sin. That's when we make the decision that, yeah, I do need saved, because I'm not what I should be, you know. Yep. And I like when I read that scripture that said in Galatians, evidently some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel. You know, they're in distraction and confusion. You know, confusion is Satan's really one of his tactics that can work very well with believers and non-believers, but mostly with us, because he wants us to have perversion of the truth a little bit, enough to just distract us away from the real gospel. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Well, you know, even with like, just like the power went off, and I know it's funny because I've just been talking about it, but it just made me think, okay, we had warning, thank goodness, on the weather report that we were going to get high winds and there may be power outages. So we had a warning. But sometimes, okay, there's enough warning, be ready. like we had to do things in which I didn't do, and I learned my lesson again. I went to sleep too early and didn't draw water because we don't have power to our pump because we have a well, so you don't have water when we have no electricity. So anyways, be prepared for that time. And we want everyone else to be saved too, because yeah, maybe they don't want to listen to us, but at least if we have the ability to speak the truth in love, like we talked about, in love, not pointing fingers, not condemning, because we're not perfect either, that's when people will be drawn to Christ.
Why do you think about whenever before I was saved, you know, like, I don't want you to go to that place. I keep saying, Lord, don't let me go back or on me, because I know what it was like when before Christ in my life and after Christ. And it's like, that is so awful. There's nothing there. Why would you want to stay there?
I know. Yeah. Well, see, the Pharisees, the Jews back then, they had the option to accept all this, and they rejected it. And some did become Jewish Christian, the Jewish Judaizers. But then they still wanted to keep those traditions, though. Well, but don't want to let go of what we think is more important. And then that becomes more important than the message. So we don't want to, I know some people say, well, what religion are you? I don't like that question. I don't have religion. I have a relationship with Jesus, and I can, what's that? Oh, yeah. Well, just like when people don't like it when you do come out of that world of lifestyle of darkness and then you are saved, they don't like it. Oh, she got religion now. I guess she's better than anyone. No, I didn't get religion. I got the truth. And the truth set me free from the lifestyle I was living that was leading me to hell. That's the whole thing. You're right? And you know what? I don't want religion. My goal, and hopefully all of your goal and everyone else, is to know Christ. Know him better. Get to have a relationship. Relationships help change. If you have someone come alongside you and encourage you, you're going to be more willing to go the journey with them and go the walk. That's what Jesus came to do, gave it to us for this journey in life that we have. Not that it's going to be easy, but that we'll have him. Those people that don't have Christ in their life going through these horrible struggles of terroristic things and family tragedies and storms, if they don't have them, I feel bad for them, because we all need Jesus in our life. So we all know the gospel that says, John 3:16, we know that simple truth, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's the gospel. Not, well, you must do this and this and this and this and then you can get saved. So how we walk out our salvation is by doing the things that we learn. And we're on a journey for ever till we die, because we're always learning new things. One thing might convict us one day that we never thought was a, you know, it's always a life-changing thing as we go through life. So any other comments before we wrap up?
I was just thinking, I remember when I first got saved, I thought, well, I can't do this, and I read that scripture is God who gives you desire in your heart, and it just gone, he'll change my desire, so I'm not going to want to do the things that I used to do. And it's not so hard to give it up, it's just not there anymore. And it's
The Psalm 37 is one of my favorite psalms, yeah. Yeah, if you submit to the Lord, he will give you the desires. And your desires do change. The desires are not for self anymore, they're for others. They're selfless. So things change. The whole heart attitude changes when we receive Christ. That's the whole neat thing about seeing the change in us, not having a religion to follow. Anyone else before we close? Good discussion. But I think it's just important to remember, we are the example of the church. Let's not go putting rules and judging other Christians and whatever because they do communion once a month and they should do it every week, or they have their church in a gym and it should be in a house of worship with the stained glass windows. It's not all about that. The focus is in the wrong place. So, okay, well, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you, God, for the gift that you have given us, that you died for us, Jesus, and that all who call upon your name and believe in you and put their trust in you can be saved. And that is the simple truth. We don't need all these works or religion. We want a relationship with you, Lord. And we just thank you for the new heart and the spirit that you put in us, Lord, to follow after you and seek your face, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.